essentially what I'm talking about. What was Yeshua doing in the synagogue? And let's start in Mark 1, verse 21. Somebody tell me the real time. I'm still having trouble with my watch. It's slowing down a lot. What's the time? 11:10? 11:14. I think my watch is speeding up. I have 11:25. Look at all this time I have today. Praise God. No, I'm kidding. It's all right. Maybe I'll preach part of last week's message too. All right. Mark 1:21. It says, They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Yeshua went into the synagogue and began to teach. Now, before we go on any further, notice it says they went to Capernaum. And the question is, because we're going to look at the scriptures very closely today, is who is they? In other words, who went to Capernaum with Yeshua and went into the synagogue with him? And the answer is this is very early in his ministry. In fact, this is the first place that he actually goes in the ministry after he has gone through the wilderness for the 40 days. He now comes into Galilee, and the first place he goes is to the synagogue in Capernaum, and he brings with him just a few of his disciples. Not all of them have already been chosen. It's only a small, collect few. So he's just started the ministry. But notice where Yeshua goes on the first Sabbath of his ministry week. He goes into the synagogue, okay? And the question is, what was the synagogue in that day? And I want to spend just a couple moments kind of describing what it was like in those early days. And what's the purpose and what was the origin of the synagogue system? Now, when you read the scriptures, particularly the Tanakh, in the first temple era, which didn't end until 586 BCE, there were no synagogues. There was only a temple. And that temple, which is where the presence of the Lord resided on earth, the people of God would come up a few times a year during the major festivals and would worship the Lord. There was no Shabbat services. There was no synagogues. There was nothing like that anywhere around. But what happened was, during the exile to Babylon in 586, and the temple was destroyed, the Jews were taken out of Israel, removed to Babylon, and now the question is, how are they going to worship the Lord? Because there's no temple, and they're not even in the right location. And so they gathered together into small collections of people, what they later called synagogues, whose primary purpose was to study the Torah. In other words, that was their focus in these early synagogues, was to literally study God's word, the Torah, as given by Moses, as given by God to Moses. That was the primary purpose. Because the Torah was given by God to the Jewish people so that they would become the model nation of all other nations. And to become the model nation, they had to study it. Now, the Jews in those days that were exiled to Babylon, they knew that they had fallen from the Lord. They had fallen into idolatry, and they were exiled to Babylon because of sin. And so now the question is how to get back right with God, and they studied the scriptures consequently to do that into the synagogue system. Now what happens is 60, 70 years later, a number of the Jewish people were allowed to return to the land of Israel, and they rebuilt the temple, which becomes known as the Second Temple Era, which begins around 500 BCE, and the second temple is destroyed in 70 of the Common Era. But during this whole period when they rebuilt the Second Temple, they still had synagogues in the land of Israel. And in fact, the temple never again became the center of Jewish life. What really began during the Second Temple period, and from this Babylon period all the way up, was that the synagogues, from then on, became the center of Jewish life. And so what we see is when we get to the New Testament, is yes, Yeshua goes to the temple a couple of times. He goes to the temple near the end of his life for about a week, and then he's at the temple, apparently, during the Gospel of John talks about him being in the temple briefly during another period. But most of the rest of Yeshua's ministry is out among the population, and on Shabbat, where was he? He was in all the different synagogues. Now, in that era, in the New Testament era, the synagogues were very different from one another. In fact, it says in Josephus that there was apparently up to 40 different kinds of synagogues, different groups that would meet and worship in different, slightly different ways. And so what happens is when we read the scriptures, when we read the New Testament, and we see what Yeshua is saying, sometimes we need to understand what synagogue was he in. He's not always just categorically speaking to everybody at one time. He's often speaking to the group that he's in, and he's focusing in on particular issues in that group at that time. We have to understand that there's differences in the way Yeshua approaches. And so when Yeshua, for instance, attacks the Pharisees and so on, it doesn't mean necessarily all the Pharisees. It may mean the group that happens to be worshiping in that synagogue, because another group of Pharisees may be worshiping in another way, or another group of Sadducees in a different way. They all worship slightly differently. Okay, now let's look back in the scriptures, and let's see what Yeshua intended to do when he went to the synagogue in Capernaum on that particular day. Let's look back at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Yeshua went into the synagogue and began to teach. What was Yeshua's purpose in coming to the synagogue that day? It was to teach the Torah. That was his essential mission. When he went into synagogues, he went in to teach the Torah. They were meeting on synagogues on Shabbat to study the Torah, and Yeshua went in to teach the Torah. Now let's look in verse 22. It says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. The scripture says here the people were amazed. And why were they amazed? Because the scripture says that Yeshua taught them with authority. And so, not as the other teachers of the law. Now, what is that supposed to mean? You know? Well, I think one of the places where that's somewhat revealed or reflected is in Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at Matthew 5 for just a moment and see what does it mean when it talks about Yeshua teaching with authority. Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. It says here, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. Now, what Yeshua is doing here is he's using a Pharisaical model of teaching that was known as from the lesser to the greater. And the idea here is that you have, when the Pharisees would teach, they would have comparative teachings. They would say, this is what it was said to you long ago, kind of a less restrictive general meaning, but now this is what we say to you, the greater, more deep meaning, the more serious meaning. And so this is known as the lesser to the greater. But notice how Yeshua himself expresses this. He says, it was said to you, or is taught to you long ago, thus and thus, you shall not murder. But notice what he says, but I say unto you, you shall not be angry with his brother. Now this would have been rare in the Pharisaical realm, because most of the time the way the Pharisees gained authority was by decisions of precedent. In other words, what their ancestors, what their sages, what their elders ruled. And so typically, in a Pharisaical argument, they will say, this is what we say to you in the name of Rabbi so-and-so. Or this is what we say to you by virtue of what the sages have told us in our decisions. And so the rabbis, the Pharisees of the day, were relying upon decisions that were reached earlier by earlier rabbis. But Yeshua is not relying on anybody's precedents, you see? He's saying, this is what was said to you long ago, but I say to you. This is what it means when Yeshua claims to have authority. This is what it means is that he is taking it upon himself to declare the clear truth and the clear word of God. You see, that's what he is accomplishing in this point right here. Now, and what he's trying to do is he's trying to show the correct application of the Torah. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 1. Let's continue this story in Capernaum. Mark chapter 1. Verse 23. Mark 1, verse 23. We already read 22. Mark 1, 23. It says, just then a man in their synagogue, so on. I want everybody to repeat with me the phrase, just then. Say it. Just then. It's interesting in the Gospel of Mark, there is a lot of these references throughout this book. Just then, immediately, you know, things like that. Mark was always focusing on a change, a sudden change that will occur. And so what happens here is there is a just then in this passage. And let's see what the just then is. It says, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Yeshua of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Yeshua sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with," notice, "authority. He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of the Galilee. You see, Yeshua teaches with authority and now he acts with authority. See, what's interesting about the ways of God are not theoretical. They are not abstract. They are very real. The ways and the words of God have the power to change people's lives. You see, it's not just we're studying the Torah to know more, but we're studying the Torah to be changed by the power of God. That's the purpose of the studying of Torah. Yeshua taught the Torah with authority, and the result was, what happened? Demons were exposed in the midst, and they were repelled by the Word of God. You see, that's what happens when real Torah is being taught, then evil is exposed and it's repelled by the power of God. What was Yeshua doing in the synagogue that day? He was teaching Torah the way that God intended. Now, I want us to look briefly for a second. If you have one, you can look. Otherwise, you can listen to me. In the Siddur. Because there's a lot in the Siddur, in the prayer book, that's connected with what Yeshua was doing. And I'm just going to read a small passage here from when we process the Torah around. We all say it in Hebrew, and then we say it in English. But I want you to know what we're saying and how this relates to what Yeshua was doing in the synagogue that day. It says in the Hebrew, on page 63, if you have one, "Vayehi bin so'a ha'arom vayomer Moshe kuma Adonai v'yafutzu avecha." And what this means is, it says, when the ark would travel, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered." What's happening is the Torah is being lifted up, and when the Torah is lifted up, the power of God arises, and what is the result? The enemies must be scattered. And so when Yeshua was speaking the Torah in the synagogue in Capernaum that day, and he was preaching God's word, the enemies got exposed that were in the hearts of the people. And they had to come out. Because, you see, a demon cannot stand in the presence of the Holy God. And here was the Holy God and the Word of God coming forth. And as a consequence, he had to be exposed and repelled by God's Word. That's what Yeshua was doing in the synagogue that day. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Let's look at another experience when he's in the synagogue. Luke 4, verse 14. Luke 4, verse 14. Luke 4, 14. It says, "Yeshua returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom." Everybody repeat, "as was his custom." As was his custom. You see, Yeshua on the Sabbath day always went into the synagogue. What did he go in the synagogue to do? To teach the Torah. That was the import of what he was doing. Now let's see what happens next in the synagogue service on that particular day. It says in at the end of verse 16, it says, "And he stood up to read." What does that mean? Well, you know, in the traditional synagogue, we don't do it much here, except from time to time. But in the traditional synagogue, we have what are known as aliyahs, or aliyahs, which means to go up. And people are called forth to come up and read from the Torah. And so Yeshua was participating in an aliyah, in an aliyah. He stood up to read. He was called forth to read from the Scriptures. Now let's look what happens next. Verse 17. "The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it was written." What's happening? The Scripture says the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. Why? Because it was the reading for that day. It's not like Yeshua just came up and said, "Just grab me the scroll of Isaiah here and let me read it." No. This was the pre-planned reading for the day. The scroll of Isaiah was handed to him when he came up because he was reading accordingly. In the synagogues, we have the readings from the Haftorah. In addition to the Torah, the Haftorah is collections of the prophets and the other writings. And this is what he was going to read that particular day. He was reading from the Haftorah portion out of Isaiah. And then it says, as we just read, it says, unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. So he unrolls the scroll, just like we do right here, and he finds the place where it was written. And when it says, found the place where it was written, he's probably referring to the portion that's supposed to be read on that particular day. And let's see now, and so he turns to that part. Now, before I read that, because this particular passage that Yeshua read is no longer read in the synagogues anymore. In other words, this part of the Haftorah is not read in the synagogues anymore. It's out of Isaiah chapter 60 or 61. And this, because only not every part of the prophets is read in the synagogue services, and this part is not. So, but let's see another prayer that is used in the synagogue at the time of Yeshua, and let's connect the prayer of the Siddur with what Yeshua was doing, because he's trying to make a point here. And I'm going to read from a very old prayer. We say it on many Shabbats here, the Amidah or the Amida. And I'm just going to look at one small part here. In fact, I'm just going to look at the English part, which is known as the Gibor Adonai, which is the might of God. And this is what it says in English. You are mighty forever. You raise the dead. You are mighty to save. You sustain the living with grace, resurrect the dead with abundant mercy, uphold the falling, heal the sick, set free those in bondage, and keep faith with those that sleep in the dust. Who is like you, master of mighty deeds, and who can compare to you, king, who causes death and restores life and makes salvation sprout? And you are faithful to resurrect the dead. Blessed are you, O Lord, who resurrects the dead. Now the Amidah, this prayer, was read at the time of Yeshua. It's a very old prayer. It goes way back to the Second Temple. Every Shabbat this is read, okay? And it's still read today, every Shabbat, in the synagogues. Now, Yeshua, knowing that, then reads from this part of Isaiah chapter 61, and let's look at it in verses 18 and 19 of Luke 4. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see the similarity between what we read in the Amidah and what we read in the Scriptures? Yeshua is making a connection, okay? He's making a connection between what is read and what is going on right at that very moment. That's what he's doing in the synagogue. Now notice, down in verse 20, it says, he rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, and then sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now why would that be the case? Were they shocked by what he said? No, not really. What were they waiting for? You see, when a passage is read from the Scriptures, then the reader explains it. It's called a drash. You explain what you've just read. Yeshua read the passage, and then he went and sat down. So all of their eyes were fastened on him to wait for him to say what he was going to say. Now, this is where it gets interesting, okay, in this passage. Verse 21, and he began by saying to them, today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Whoa. Now that takes a lot of chutzpah, right? I mean, here's the prophet talking about somebody's coming, who's going to set the captives free, resurrect the dead, all these kinds of things. They've already prayed the Amidah already in the service, and now he's saying, today this day is fulfilled in your hearing. Whoa. Now what is he going to say? You see, what we read here is probably not the entire thing that he spoke on that day, because he probably would have went into far more explanation. But let's look what it says in verse 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. So notice, here's the reaction. Yeshua has just said, today the Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Then he probably goes on to further explain the passage. And everybody is impressed. Hey, wow, that's pretty nice. They found his words gracious, and they were pleased. And isn't this Joseph's son? Wow, where did he get all this knowledge? This is really great. Okay, but there's a problem here. There's something missing in this synagogue that happened back in the synagogue back in the other town, in Capernaum. In Nazareth, there's no real reaction. It's like, wow, this is nice. You know, wow, who's this guy? Wow, it's good words, Yeshua. Whoa, you know. That's meaningful. But in the other synagogue, back in Capernaum, what happened? Boom! Devils get exposed. Power of God knocks them out of there. Everybody's amazed. So what's going on in this passage? Okay? Look at verse 23. Yeshua, this is after they were impressed. Yeshua, now they're not afterwards. This, Yeshua said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we heard that you did in Capernaum.'" In other words, what is he saying? They're saying to him, "What about Capernaum?" In other words, he's turning it around on them. He's basically saying, this is kind of a paraphrase of what Yeshua is saying, is, "What's the matter with you?" See, that's what Yeshua is saying. See, what's the matter with you? You should have said, "The works that I did in Capernaum, why aren't we doing them here? What's the matter with you?" And then let's look what he continues. He continues his drash, his explanation of this passage, but now it gets very tough. Look what he says, verse 24. "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. There was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Now, when Yeshua had read the passage and explained the passage, the people liked him, but what was missing? There was no change. You see, the Torah that he taught had no change. There was no impact. And so the purpose of the Torah is to challenge and to change us. That's the purpose of the Torah. It's to challenge our lives and to change us. And it was lacking in that synagogue on that day. What was Yeshua doing? He was teaching the way God intended, to challenge us and to change us. And then the scripture says in verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Now that stirred them up. You see? That got them. But it didn't get them in the way that Yeshua had really originally wanted. What he wanted was for them to look at themselves and to see their failure and their lack and to turn to the Lord. But rather they got mad at the messenger, at the one who was bringing forth the Torah, and they responded in anger, and he had to leave that town because of a lack of response. The Torah is intended to challenge us and to change us. Turn with me to Matthew 12. This is the last major scripture we're going to look at, Matthew 12. Let's look at another synagogue setting. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. Matthew 12, verse 1. Matthew 12, verse 1. It says, "At the time Yeshua went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.'" Now, the first question that comes to mind before we read the rest of this is, what was Yeshua doing in the grain fields on the Sabbath, right? That's our first question. Yeah, because it's kind of a good question the Pharisees are asking here. How come you're in the grain fields and you're involved in this stuff? What were you doing? Well, it says a little bit later in this passage what he was doing. And let's look over to verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "Going on from that place," which was the grain field, "he went into their synagogue." And so what was Yeshua doing in the grain fields on the Sabbath? He was on his way to the synagogue with the disciples. That's what he was doing. He basically was going from wherever they were had been resting and living, and now they're on their way to the synagogue. And on the way to the synagogue, they obviously haven't had time for breakfast. I mean, that's what's obviously happened here. They're on their way. They haven't had time. There's grain in the field. Disciples start whipping off the grain, start chomping on the grain, right? Disciples are eating. So what's the problem? Why do the Pharisees react in such a negative way to the disciples eating in the grain? Does anybody know why? It's considered work by the Pharisees because they were harvesting. Okay? Considered harvesting by the Pharisees, and consequently it was work, and you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. Now, what was Yeshua likely intending to do when he got to the synagogue on that Sabbath day? You see, he was likely to teach the Torah, right? That was his purpose for coming. But now what's happened? This big brouhaha has broken out into the fields on the way to the synagogue, and it continues into the synagogue. Yeah, you know, put yourself back in this. You know, I know many of us go through this when we're on our way to the synagogue here, right? It's like we're getting ready. Things aren't working out. We're starting to run late at home. Shower's cold, like mine this morning. And we start to get a little bummed out. You know, it's starting to get stirred up and angry. And we're driving here and we're behind, we're getting into traffic and we start to get a little more flustered. And a lot of times people show up in the services and they're just kind of, you know, they're kind of flustered. They're kind of shaken up. Well, think about what these guys were like. Here they were, Yeshua's just popping along with the disciples. On the way to the synagogue that day, the disciples are whipping out some grain, eating some of the... And all of a sudden, the Pharisees get in this big debate. And everybody's arguing with one another about what's right, what's wrong, and what is this, and so on. You can imagine the feeling that everybody had going to the synagogue. It's like, yeah, you know, I just want to... Yeah, like that. That's probably the feeling when they walked in on the synagogue in that morning. Okay, now let's look. Now, of course, Yeshua argues with them. But let's look in the Siddur what they would have prayed on that day in the synagogue from another prayer that is a very old prayer that's known as Vishamaru, okay? And it's on page 46. We also do it here as well. And I just want to read this. And Vishamaru means, and you shall keep, okay? And this is what it says in English. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, notice, he rested and was refreshed. Okay? And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. So what you're declaring in the Vishamaru is the purpose of the Sabbath, and the Lord, when he finished his creation, he rested and was refreshed. Okay? So the goal in the synagogue is to receive the rest and the refreshment of the Lord. Now you can imagine what the synagogue was like on that particular day, right? It was anything but rest and refreshment. Everybody's like, oh, ticked off, you know? It's like, what is going on in here? And the Pharisees are saying, you violated the Sabbath. And Yeshua's saying, no, I didn't, and you're wrong. And the disciples are all bummed out because they were eating, and they're the cause of all this big brouhaha. No one knows what's happening, okay? It's this big, big mess. And what is the Sabbath a sign for? It's a sign of rest and refreshment. But it was anything but that on that day. Now, let's look in Matthew chapter 12, and let's look at verses 3 through 8. And let's see what Yeshua says, okay? He says this. This is in the grain field on the way to the synagogue. Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and would not have condemned the innocent, for the Lord, the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I don't know about you, but folks, these are fighting words. You see, Yeshua is really challenging them. If you hadn't condemned the innocent, and I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I define what can be done on that day. Man, you can imagine the incredible anger that these folks would feel. Everybody's riled up. But what was Yeshua doing already? Even before he got into the synagogue that day, he was teaching Torah, right? He was teaching the ways of the Lord to the people. That was what he was trying to accomplish on that day. And the Torah, the goal of the Torah, is to challenge and to change. You see? The challenge and to change. Now, let's see. Look at verses 9 and 10. Look at what happens next. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, and looking for a reason to accuse Yeshua, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, did you ever think of yourself, why did they ask that question that day? What was the point of the question? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And I believe part of it was because in the minds of the Pharisees, the disciples and Yeshua had already broken one of the Sabbath rules, which was harvesting. Yeshua had explained it away on his way to the synagogue. They knew him to be a miracle worker. And the question is they wanted to capture him in a direct violation of the Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath day. Now, healing, let me make it clear, according to rabbinic law, healing is permissible on the Sabbath in emergencies. In other words, if an emergency arises, somebody can be healed. A doctor can go perform medicine or surgery, but not in a non-emergency situation. So, let's see what happens. Let's see how Yeshua kind of turns the tide a little bit here. And let's read what he says. Verse 11. This is an answer to the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Yeshua said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? What is he saying here? See, Yeshua is using their own reasoning to convict them. Their reasoning is, okay, you can't heal on the Sabbath day unless there's an emergency. But then he turns it around and he says, what if your sheep or something falls into the pit on the Sabbath? Probably leave the pig there. But you would save the sheep out of the pit because it's an emergency situation. Now, notice what he says next. How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. What is he doing? He's turning the terms. Is it lawful? To it is lawful. The words in Hebrew that they originally asked, the Pharisees asked Yeshua, which is ha'im ka Torah. In other words, is it lawful or is it of the law to do such a thing? Yeshua turns around and says to them, al kein ka Torah, which is therefore it is lawful. Why is it lawful? Because you're saying that in an emergency situation, I can deliver a sheep out of a pit. But I'm saying to you that it's lawful, it is of the Torah to do good on the Sabbath. And what is good on the Sabbath? It's to bring healing to this poor person who has a withered hand on the Sabbath. Was the withered hand an emergency? No. It wasn't an emergency situation. But it sure would have been good to have been healed on that Sabbath day. Amen? I mean, that's what God really wants, right? He wants restoration. That's what he wanted to accomplish. And so it's not lawful to heal on the Sabbath day necessarily, but it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. And Yeshua turns once again the Torah to its correct application. What's the purpose of the day of the synagogue and the Sabbath? It's to learn and to apply Torah into our lives. And when the Torah is applied, what happens as a result? We are changed by the power of God. You see, that's the purpose of the Torah. It's not to gain knowledge. It's not to be all, you know, oh, so erudite and so wonderful. And everybody come, oh, wow, you're such a great guy. You're so wonderful. It's the Torah is studied and preached to change people's lives. That's the whole point of what happens. And the result is verse 13. Yeshua said to the man, stretch out your hand. And so he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Now that word restoration is in the essence of the meaning of Shabbat. You see, the Shabbat is to remember the creation. We even said it in the liturgy today. And what existed in the creation period? Everything was whole. Everything was perfect. Everything was in harmony. There were no withered hands in the creation. Everything was made whole. The purpose of the Sabbath day is to remember and to experience the creation and the power of God. And Yeshua is saying to them, basically, here's the Torah in application. Let your hand be restored to the way it was originally intended during the creation period. And what happens is his hand is immediately made whole on that spot. Now, let me close with this note. If Yeshua came into our synagogue today, what would he do? I mean, think about it, you know. Everybody goes around with the little pins, you know, what would Jesus do or whatever. And so, but let's think about it now. We've talked all about the synagogue and Yeshua being in the synagogue. What would Yeshua do if he came in to a service on this day? Well, if we recognized him as a honorable rabbi or someone, we would let him process with the Torah. That would be interesting. The Word of God made flesh, carrying the Word of God, right? That's kind of heavy. And then he would come up here, and then what would be the next thing that he would do? He would read from the passage of the Torah on that day. He wouldn't just change it. He would read from it. Whatever was the passage that was prescribed, he would read from it. And then, once he finished reading, he would sit down and teach from it and give it its application. And what would happen to us as we listened to the words of Yeshua? Something would happen in us, you see? Something would be stirred in our hearts. We would be changed. People in here that are in physically afflicted in wheelchairs or whatever other situation would be, they would be healed on the spot. Because the words of God change us. They challenge us. They change us. And they restore us to what the Lord wanted. That's what Yeshua would do if he came into the service this day. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, the Scripture says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and divides between soul and spirit, Lord God, even to the quickening and the exposing of our hidden thoughts, Lord. And Lord, we desire for the Word to expose us, Lord God, to change us, to challenge us, Lord, not to let us sit back on our laurels as if just to be tickled in our ears, Lord God, but Father, for us to be changed by your words and by your power, Father, to live according to the life that Yeshua has ordained for each of us and the Lord has destined for each of us to live, Lord. Father, we desire to know your Torah, to know your law, to know your words, Lord God, and be changed by the power of God, Lord. Father, we seek your face, Lord. We are open to your word changing us and challenging us this very day, Lord. Father, if there's darkness in my heart, Lord, if there's anything in my heart or in our hearts today that isn't right, Lord God, Father, we ask that you would bring it to light. And Father, that we would not leave here the same as when we came in, Lord God, but we would truly be changed by the power of God and by his word. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.